Harold and Country Music. Here are the fantasy fools in 3, 2...
Every fantasy has one fool, but this one has two. And the greatest lesson in life is to know even fools are right sometimes.
Looks like the upper hand is on the other foot.
It's time for the Fantasy Fool Show.
Tell us, Frey, dude.
Here's Brian and Mac.
Well, how you doing, fantasy fools? Fantasy Fools brought to you by ITC. Mac, how you doing?
Good morning, everyone. I am doing very well. Everything seems to be falling into place.
falling hard.
I may be the only person on the planet that has Pat Mahomes starting in one league and still lost the game.
It's happened to a few, though. That's just the way it is. How about Patrick Mahomes? He went right. I mean, we get into what went right and what went wrong.
Yep.
Not that Patrick Mahomes could really ever go that wrong, but he really went that right.
Yeah, absolutely flawless performance. Statement game, made the Ravens look like a B team, and really contained Lamar Jackson. And I don't think Baltimore hits the panic button, but they certainly should be concerned losing a big home game in prime time that, by all accounts, they probably should have won.
Didn't you expect this one to be the most high-scoring game of the season? I mean, like 40-plus on each side?
Yeah, and it stayed under the betting total by a point.
Yeah,
so
yeah, people lost money there, didn't they?
They did. Oops. Let's not name names.
Yeah, no, what else went right?
Well, I think we've got so much to talk about in terms of what went right, and we'll roll that over into our next segment with studs and duds. But I just think, the offenses that we've been rolling with have just continued to roll. Green Bay, for example, just monster numbers all weekend long. If you had your Packers, if you had, if you've got teams like the Falcons, even though they continue to lose in foolish fashion, they're still putting up huge numbers. I mean, the Rams, the Bills, I mean, these teams, the Rams and Bills are odd because they can score, but they're supposedly built on defense. And yet here they are in what was the final in that game? 32-30 or whatever.
It was close. It was really close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been an odd year, and I think it has to do with no preseason games.
Yeah,
I think so. we've proved or shown that maybe preseason games, maybe two.
Yeah,
but don't ever get rid of them.
Yeah, and yeah, we'll talk about Russell Wilson a little bit too. I mean, if you've got Seahawks, you drafted well if you've got Seahawks.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Isn't that the truth? I speak from the heart there because I've got them on both teams, so it's fantastic. What went wrong?
Well, I think we probably have to just continue to look at teams that, like, even in a winning effort, the Lions, they just don't have a running game. It's just I don't know how they're gonna they won their one game. Right. How are they going to keep winning? They've got to sort out that backfield. I mean, AP did good.
I think they need to lean on AP, period.
100%. They just have to just quit fooling around and stop with the committee. And just lean on AP because he looks really good.
Swift isn't there yet, and I think if Swift is forced to watch AP run, changes the deal for them.
And I'll say something that people might kind of take issue with, but I am, even though they're a 3-0 team, I think there's a little bit of a facade there with Cam Newton and the Patriots. They have got to get a passing game going, or they're not going to compete with Baltimore and Kansas City. It's not necessarily a dud, but Cam had a letdown week, and that's a game where they should have been able to pass, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you.
Absolutely.
How about for those that had number 10 for the Bears? What's his name? Mitchell Trubinsky?
Yes.
Benchsky? Anyway,
The Trubisky experiment is over.
Who would have known? I let go of Robinson thinking that, the Bears are just pretty much...
Yep.
And then Nick Foles comes in, had an inkling.
Yep.
I would have kept him because now Allen Robinson actually becomes the top 10 receiver that he was meant to be all year long. So whole different deal for those that still have him.
100%.
So we're going to come right back and talk all about the studs and duds in fact and fiction on Fantasy Fools, brought to you by ITC.
More of the Fantasy Fools next on K-Country 102.3.
You're listening to the Fantasy Fools, Brian and Matt.
I'm going to skip
on K Country 102.3.
All right, well, we're just going to do things as we roll here because, well, that's what they do. I try to shut up and let Mac talk. So studs and duds, fact or fiction.
Well, we already hinted at some of the quarterbacks, but, you know, you just got to keep rolling with Rodgers. Obviously, you're not benching anyone like Mahomes, but it was an underwhelming dud-like performance for Jackson. Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, Allen, you know, all of these, Matt Ryan, all these quarterbacks are putting up huge numbers. And then all of a sudden, a sneaky surprise, here comes Nick Foles, as we, you know, alluded to before the break. If you drafted Alvin Kamara, that's looking like an excellent draft pick. If you took him with your first round pick, and I'm sure most people did. I don't think he goes out of the first round in any drafts. But what an incredible performance. But you also, I think, have to be a little concerned of the wear and tear. I like the one back type performance without the committee, but they just are not going to be able to beat on him like that because he has a history of being banged up. So.
He does, and he's a little guy.
Yeah, he is. Yep. Dalvin Cook remains a bright spot in the Vikings, and that also leads us to the emergence of Justin Jefferson, who had a breakout performance, wonderful performance for the Vikings. And I think that they're going to have to just throw caution to the wind and just start airing it out, leaning on their studs. And he's the new addition to that if they're going to make anything out of this season. There was an Austin Eckler sighting in Los Angeles. Yeah, so where'd he come from? He was kind of in the dark. And if you're looking at lower end running backs, Miles Gaskin is now the official man in Miami, and he put up a decent game. So I think you look at that. Also, Cleveland figured it out, and they're going to run. And they're going to be their secret to success. So if you've got Hunt and Chubb, can't go wrong with either one of them. They are starters every week, with Hunt certainly being a flex, if not a running back two or running back three. I think, too, when you look at some of the other, like Cooper Kupp had a nice game. Calvin Ridley continues to perform at the wide receiver position. Tyler Boyd for Cincinnati. Chris Godwin comes in and has a nice game, but then is hurt again. So that's unfortunate. Randall Cobb for Houston had a decent game, so he might be worth taking a look at on the waiver wires if you're really in a pickle. Duds, I think you had your expectations low for Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs for Las Vegas, but I don't think we had them that low. That was a very underwhelming performance. DJ Moore, a terrible performance for Carolina. I mentioned Cam Newton, underwhelming performance, and the Patriots receiver. Gardner Minshew had an underwhelming performance. And then poor Jordan Reed, you know, we thought that he was going to, you know, get back in there, and now he's out again with an injury. So that's too bad. The Lions running game, all of the New York football Giants, and poor Dallas Goedert and DeSean Jackson for the Eagles, who continue to just pile up the injuries. The Eagles and the 49ers are just shells of themselves. You know, when we talk about things like fact or fiction, what are some of the things that we want to hang our hats on the rest of the way? The 49ers, for example, their defense is going to keep them in games, and Kyle Shanahan is smart offensively. I don't know if you're going to pick up any of these no-name players, but I think that they're going to continue to find ways to win, and you might want to hold on to some of those injured players so when they do come back, they're going to slide right in. I think that we're going to have to lower our expectations and think that Derek Carr will have a clunker game from time to time, but also it was the Patriots. So that's sort of a blend of fact and fiction. Cleveland's going to run the ball. They're bouncing back. They're going to lean on that run game. The less they have to rely on Baker Mayfield and just get that run game going, that's what they're going to do, and you saw that on Sunday. Fact, Cowboys, Falcons, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Rams, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens are all going to score a boatload of points every game. Doesn't matter who they're playing. They seem impervious to any defenses. And those teams also, unless you're the Chiefs or the Ravens, really don't have defenses. I just think, finally, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts defenses are fact. They proved that last weekend. Those are defenses that are going to be worth holding. I think they're lock and load defenses for the rest of the season.
Okay, how about a little fiction?
Until we see more, I think the Lions winning that game, the Lions are still going to be primarily fiction. They have to, like we said before the break, they got to lean on AP. They've got to get that running game going. I think they're wasting him right now. And once they do that, Kenny Galladay is healthy now. If they can get that running game going and start to lean on that passing game, I think that they get that ship turned around. Here's an interesting one that could lean fact or fiction. Are the Houston Texans the best 0-3 team in the league?
You know, really, I hate to say it, but I might come across as a Viking fan, but they might be neck and neck. Because I think the Vikings, with Justin Jackson,
yeah.
I think they figured something out this weekend, even though they lost by 1 point.
And guess what?
They had an opportunity.
And guess what? Minnesota goes to Houston.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah, so see, here we go.
So one of those teams will have a win, unless you're like the Chargers or the Eagles and Bengals last week in that horrible, you know, non-field goal attempt at the end and ending that game in a tie. Oof.
Yeah. The one bright note for Lions fans, if you have Matt Prater, that might be okay yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I also think if we can sneak one last fiction in, let's just talk about the Eagles. I think it's unless you have Zach Ertz, I don't think there are any Eagles. And Miles, excuse me, the running back. Why am I thinking out of
Sanders?
Miles, yeah. If you've got Ertz and Sanders, hold on to them. I think you can safely tuck away or drop the rest of the Eagles.
Right.
And I that includes Carson Wentz.
And here's the crazy thing. Ertz is still available in some leagues.
Yeah.
So
yeah, with Goddard out, he's
that's
now...
That's a big deal. And he still was. He was still getting targets. He just wasn't being productive.
100%.
We'll go fact-finding. If you don't mind the numbers, we'll go through some stats and then the top five plays of the week next.
More of the Fantasy Fools next on K-Country 102.3. Fools.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. We're going to get into the fact finding here. We spend a lot of time looking at the facts. These stats are, they're in a way, they're kind of important. What you're looking for is 6 to 12 points in a standard league. You're probably looking for 8 to 12, maybe 10 to 15 in a PPR, but sometimes this will backfire on you, but for the most part, it has a fair amount of meaning. So we look at most points allowed to the quarterback position. Up until this week, it's been the Falcons, the Dolphins, and the Jags. At the running back position, the Panthers, Bengals, and Dolphins are giving up a fair amount of points. The wide receivers, Seahawks, the Dolphins, and the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
The tight ends, Jaguars, the Eagles, and the Browns. And then the defense, the Eagles, Texans, and Jags are giving up a fair amount of points. Now, the quality start, this is something new that I started looking at. This is going to get really complicated, and I don't know. I may end up removing it because it becomes too complicated, but it measures week-to-week consistency, and that's what you're looking for, based on poor quality grade and then quality plus grade. So we look at quarterbacks, and I really couldn't find any there that really – fit the bill, which is kind of interesting that you would want to start on a on a regular basis. So jump right to running backs. Jerick McKinnon, if he could stay healthy and Mostert doesn't come back, there's some serious potential there. He's 84% rostered, and he's still quality plus great, even though he's injured. It is a little bit scary. Also, Joshua Kelly fits the bill there at 86% rostered. He's a 67% great, and as we add games, these numbers will go down. So in the wide receiver position, Will Fuller, 91% rostered, so you still have a chance to grab him in some leagues, 67% quality plus great. Mo Alie-Cox, 10% rostered. This was my big one, and I almost picked him up last week just because, and I didn't, because I didn't think he was real, but maybe he is right now, as long as Jack Doyle's out, 67% quality plus grade. Noah Fant.
Yep.
Despite the quarterback, and here's the deal, Noah Fant would have put up huge numbers because the targets were there.
Yep.
They were out of reach.
Yep.
So he, I think, is viable. 80% rostered, 67% quality plus grade. Then we go to the snap counts, and here comes Myles Gaskin again.
Yep.
Myles is getting about 44 snaps a game, which is 66.7% of the team. 47% owned. So, like you said earlier, there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah. Packard, he needs to be picked up, by the way.
Yes, he does. You even if you stash him.
Yep.
You got to get him while you can, because you never know what's going to happen. All right, then Packers' Alan Lazard, 62 average snaps, 87% of the team snaps. Obviously, that's in part to Devontae Freeman being out, but he's only 49% rostered. And Steelers' Eric Ebron, he's getting 50 snaps average, which is about 72%. Of the team's snaps. So that's really not bad either. 27% rostered. You might want to look at him. We look at targets. Anything you want to add there?
I was just going to say, with Deontay Johnson out with a concussion, that's going to Ebron's stock goes way up. And if he's somehow available, he needs to be picked up as well.
No doubt. We look at targets. And here again, Jerick McKinnon pops up. 6 rushes, 6 receptions, 2 touchdowns. He's very productive. But you've got to remember that Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to be in the mix there too. So, you know, if you've got him, you might hang on to him. If you can pick him up and hold him, if you've got the room to stash him, maybe stash him.
Yep.
Tyler Boyd pops up again, 13 targets, 11 receptions, 1 TD. And then for the tight ends, here's Noah Fant. 11 targets, 9 receptions, 2 touchdowns, and the numbers would have been, he would have been 11 for 11 this past week had he actually had the opportunity to catch a couple of those balls, and they were nice. They were deeper balls. They were 20, 30 yards.
Absolutely.
It was decent. So that's a peek at the statistics there and all that fact-finding stuff. Maybe it does you good, maybe it doesn't. But now the top five plays.
Yep, and we'll go through these pretty quickly. Remember, we don't include studs in this unless they're a unique situation. So I think you'll sense that. I think we're going to see some bounce back games. So at quarterback, I like Derek Carr to bounce back at home versus Buffalo. Ryan Fitzpatrick at home against the Seahawks, another potential shootout there, and Jared Goff at home against the Giants, who have absolutely nothing left on the field. At running back, I think Devin Singletary is starting to emerge as the lead back in Buffalo. I like him at Las Vegas. I think you give David Johnson a chance against the Vikings. That's a desperation game, so all hands on deck. One of those teams needs to win. Kenyon Drake, I think you stick with him, even though he's had a couple of duds in a row. He's at Carolina. And then a sneaky play is keep an eye on Carson for Seattle, the running back. He's got a knee sprain. A sneaky play is Carlos Hyde. So if he's on your waiver wire, he's worth picking up. So wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy from Denver. He's all they got other than Noah Fant, who's also one of my starts at tight end. Devontae Parker for Miami is back and looking healthy. He's got 10 days off to get healed. He's a great play every week. And then Justin Jefferson, as we mentioned, who's also probably the number one waiver wire pickup this week at wide receiver. Tight ends, Fant. Darren Waller is going to bounce back. Don't get cute. You never bench Waller. He's fantastic. He's a top three tight end. And then Mike Gesicki in Miami. You know, Seattle has no defense. So that's their big flaw. I mean, they give up, you know, they're going to score 45 points, but they're probably going to give up 38 points per game. And Miami, if we know one thing about Fitzmagic, he's going to score. We'll save the flex for the double down because you've got a double down for us. And then defense, you're playing the Jets or the Giants. You got to fire up the defense. So this week, Broncos versus Jets and Rams versus Giants. And then, as we said in the earlier segment, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a defense. I think that if you got them or if they're available, pick them up. But I think they're an every week defense from here on out.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, we're going to come back with the State Farm double down and we'll look at the injury report next.
Blah, blah, blah.
Check this out. More of the Fantasy Fools, Brian and Mac.
Good call.
Next. You're listening to the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.
All right, let's double down here real quick. So it's time for our Fantasy Fool State Farm Double Down, brought to you by your local discount double check State Farm agent Paul Cruz. We're going to double down on Jonathan Taylor from the Colts. So Indy's got a heck of a thing going on there. They've got 3 running backs that are superb. Maybe last week they weren't quite productive enough, so the coach said, all right, Taylor, Hines, you're out. Wilkins, you're in. So do you double down and stick with Jonathan Taylor, who's been a heck of a producer, for Nyheim Hines, or do you grab Jordan Wilkins and set him on the bench and have him just in case? These guys seem to be healthy. They seem to be all 3 good picks. Wilkins not going to get you a bunch of points. Nyheim Hines might start bringing points, but obviously the guy to go with is Jonathan Taylor. So you double down on his 13 runs, I think 59 yards, so 1 touchdown, 1 reception. Nyheim Hines, 7 runs, 21 yards, 4 receptions for 4 yards. So, you know, their numbers are really kind of close, about the same. So
I like it.
You know, I think, would you double down on Taylor?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you have to.
Yes, absolutely. And I will add to that because I think that as we look back and things are starting to come into clearer focus, I think that week one loss, the Colts loss to the Jaguars, is an anomaly. I think the Colts actually in a weird way, are treating their first couple of games like preseason games.
I agree.
Because if you saw the Colts in week one versus the – now, I know they're playing the Jets, but the Colts absolutely demoralized the Jets. And that is a ferocious defense, and their offense usually offenses will pick up defenses will be strong, and then the offenses will come along as the season goes along. And I think that your Colts offensive players are sneaky players to hold on to right now.
Yeah, and I think the proof is in the pudding there. When you talk about preseason games, I think preseason game number three for the Colts was last week because they set Taylor down. How would you set Taylor and Nyheim Hines down?
Mm-hmm.
When they're giving some production,
yep.
But take them out for the fourth quarter and you let Wilkins have it.
Yep,
it was a test.
Yeah, it was a complete test.
Much so. Yep. And it was probably tough for some Taylor and Hines owners. But
yep.
You know what? That's the way it goes.
Yep.
The panic button is for emergencies only.
Where's the button?
Here comes the meat wagon.
This is a class one emergency.
You know. I like that you brought that idea up because that whole thing just kind of fit together yeah. And it makes the transition into injuries a little more fun because it's kind of a bummer topic.
Yeah, and I hope folks realize that that's Chris Farley in the middle there. Yeah. I mean, and if you don't know the movie, then I feel sorry for you.
Me too.
We've got some injuries to talk about here. We mentioned Chris Carson. Keep an eye on him. It's a sprained knee. And so week to week. So they'll be cautious with him. Carlos Hyde, sneaky pickup, sneaky play. Tariq Cohen is out for the season, Bears torn ACL. Chris Godwin comes back 1 week, immediately hurts his hamstring. That's a death knell for wide receivers. DeSean Jackson, hamstring. I don't think you're going to play him anymore. The Eagles are such a mess. I think he's droppable. Dallas Goedert is expected to miss multiple weeks for the Eagles. Jordan Reed for the 49ers, unfortunately, hurt again. And then Jerick McKinnon for the 49ers was injured, too. And that's one to keep an eye on because the 49ers' backfield is constantly in rotation. But other than that, it was a mercifully smaller injury report this week. Maybe that's because there's nobody else left to get injured.
But yeah. You know, and we've got a very thin waiver wire. We'll take a look at it next.
It's Brian and Mac, the Fantasy Fools.
Bump the volume, bump the volume, bump the volume.
It's Brian and Mac, the Fantasy Fools.
All right, let's take a look at the waiver wire here on Fantasy Fools on K Country 102.3, brought to you by ITC. Mac, what do you got on the waiver wire there? Big names, little names,
names? Yeah, I'm going to give us a top five here. I'm going to go 1A and 1B. Justin Jefferson for the Vikings needs to be owned immediately. He proved that he's going to be a big part of that offense moving forward. We mentioned Miles Gaskin for the Dolphins. Volume, volume, volume. He's going to get carries. And then I think Carlos Hyde, you pick him up, especially if you have Carson. He's going to be a sneaky play. I don't think they're going to rush Carson back. Brandon Ayuk, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, wide receiver for the 49ers. Again, volume. They don't have anyone. So he's going to get looks. And with Jordan Reed out and Kittle still kind of nip and tuck, we'll see how that goes. And then finally, Alan Lazard.
Coming up in the two-minute warning. That's the two-minute warning.
You can't stop the two-minute clock.
Two-minute warning.
Two-minute whistle blows, it's your ball game.
Two-minute warning. Here we go.
All right, so it's set up. When there's 2 minutes left, there's 2 minutes left, even if it interrupts us. So you were interrupted so rudely and giving...
I needed that two-minute break.
Okay. You know. So, Lazard, you said?
I think Lazard and Valdez-Scantling. I even though Scantling didn't have a very good game, the Packers are just going to keep pouring on the points. Rodgers looks great. I mean, he just looks absolutely fantastic. I also think Houston, Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks. Cooks is going to be coming back. I mean, those are good receivers to kind of stash if you really need some help at that position. And then I think if you need some help at tight end, if Dalton Schultz is still available, he shouldn't be, but if he is for Dallas, pick him up. And then Greg Olsen kind of had a nice little showing in Seattle. Now, again, Dallas's defense is terrible, but if you need help at tight end and you've got an offense like Seattle's and Russell Wilson's, you know, throwing it 45 times a game for five touchdowns, Olsen, you know, there's a good chance that he might catch one of those.
No doubt. Nobody has talked about Laviska Shenault Jr. What's up with that? He's my guy.
Yeah, you know, good week one, a decent week two, and then just kind of fell off in week three. Hold on to him.
Yep, he'll come back in week four. A couple of emails. This one from Dawn from the Purple Cheetahs. Not cheaters, but cheetahs. Can I rely on Jerick McKinnon? And you were right on Rexy. Thanks.
Yep.
So you keep, I think we've answered that question already, right?
I think so, yeah. Just monitor the injury, you know. But, yeah, if he's healthy, play him.
Riley says, from All Riled Up, I get it, that's kind of funny, Burrows or Goff?
Goff.
Okay. And one more, Courtney from Courtney's team. Obviously, just wants her name there. It's down to Freeman, Gore, Peterson for me. Who do I go with?
Until further notice, Peterson.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Keep your eye on Freeman, though.
You got it. Week number four coming up. Three's in the bag. Can't
you
wait to chat
bet.
Next
Jets
week.
At Broncos Thursday night.
All right, we'll see you. That's Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.